everyone, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. My name is Peggy Ployer, and I am the host of this weekly broadcast put on by Sped Homeschool, as well as its founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool. We at Sped Homeschool empower families to home educate children with learning challenges, and I encourage you to check out our website at spedhomeschool.com to learn more about the resources and the support that we offer families. This month is a new month, so we're kicking off a new topic. We like to focus on different topics every month because we know that there's content we still don't have, which seems amazing because I think we have like over 800 videos on our YouTube channel and hundreds of blogs on our website. But there are areas we haven't touched on yet. And one that we thought we needed some more resources on was cheap and free resources or inexpensive. Sometimes inexpensive doesn't mean that they're cheap. It just means that you don't have to pay for them and they're quality educational products. And I'm excited today to kick off this month's topic by talking about the library that's full of very, very good resources. And my guest today is Melissa Brander. Did I say that right? from Pocket Homeschool. Welcome, Melissa, and thank you for joining us and your willingness to share about how we can utilize the library to help with our homeschooling.
Thank you so much for having me, Peggy. I'm so excited. I love libraries, and I'm really excited to be talking about them today with you.
Yeah. I love when I have guests on that are extremely passionate about what they'll talk to, because I barely have to say anything. And you can just share. I know we have some questions we have put together ahead of time, and I see we have viewers already popping on with us. If you have a question or comment and you're watching, if you had reserved on the link that we sent, just make sure that you click out of the Empowered Homeschool website page and onto YouTube, and you can comment on YouTube and we'll be able to see those comments as we're live. If you are watching on our Facebook page, you can comment there as well. If you're watching in our Facebook group, just know that you have to give StreamYard permission to share your name. Otherwise, you won't be able to comment from there. So you can make a comment, share that permission, or you can just pop over to the main page, the Sped Homeschool page on Facebook, and make comments from there. But we would love you to be part of this conversation. That's why we're live. And so however you want to interact with us, that's great. Maybe you just want to put us on your counter while you're making lunch for your kids and just listen in on the conversation. And I know there's a lot of you that download this podcast, and we thank you for doing that on a weekly basis and keeping our podcast listenership up. And also for continuing to support what we're doing in helping empower families to home educate struggling learners. So Melissa, as we kick off, I'd love for my audience to get to know you a little better and tell us just a little bit about yourself and your homeschooling journey.
My name is Melissa, like you said, Peggy, and I have two boys. They're 7 and 9, and they've been homeschooled their whole lives. Awesome. It was never something that I had really thought about. But then when my kids were first born and my husband and I were talking about it, and he was homeschooled for a little while as a child.
Okay.
And we decided that this is something we want to do. And now, like, I really couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love homeschooling. We live in the Midwest, which is sort of snowy, sort of melty right now.
Yes.
It's just wonderful to be able to do life together with our kids and explore the world and all the really neat things that are out there and have those lived and learned experiences together.
Yes. Yeah. That's if you embrace homeschooling, it can become such a wonderful lifestyle. I think the people that have the hardest time are those that are trying to keep the lifestyle they had when they had the mindset of public school or private school, or they've moved from that and they don't really embrace the freedoms and everything that you can get with the homeschooling lifestyle. And so thank you for stressing that, because it is so important. And especially if you want to do it for the long run, because otherwise you're just going to be battling them on a consistent basis. And that's no fun. Yes. Might as well just give in and dive in. And I tend to be that. And then I'm the one that's struggling going, help, I jumped in too quick. but we're here for you. So just know that. So the first question I thought I'd ask you is, what percentage of homeschoolers do you even think that utilize library resources to aid their teaching? And why do you think the numbers are where they're at, where you think they're at?
So I think it's hard to get a percentage, right? Because nobody's going around asking how many homeschoolers, like, do you use the library or not? Mm-hmm. I would say sometimes the common barrier to library use can just be sometimes location, if it's far away, or if you live somewhere where the library is really small, sometimes those libraries are more limited in their hours and the services that they're able to provide. Mm-hmm. Or like fines can be another barrier to library use.
I never thought about that.
But more libraries are starting to drop their fines, especially for children and youth materials. Of course, every library is a little bit different. So I'm going to be speaking about libraries generally, and I'm going to encourage you always to go and check your library out and the specific resources and quirks and personality of your library, because everyone is a little bit different. And that's one of my favorite things about libraries, is how unique and special they all are in their own ways.
Yeah. We've moved a lot in our homeschooling journey. And, you know, the library was always one of the first things I tapped into. Of course, we're an older homeschool family. So I think libraries were utilized a lot more in my generation of homeschooling than maybe with new families coming in. So I'm really excited for you to be sharing that, you know, and you having younger kids and being of that generation, that that there are probably even more resources than I had. And so just to be able to tap into them, to utilize them. But even when we moved, I found out when I went to the library, talked to the librarian, that my options may have been close to the same, but how to get them was very different. And so, yeah, so I'm super excited about that. So different ages, different kids, you know, how may utilizing the library for resources look different based on the ages of children a family is homeschooling?
Yeah, that's a really great question. Obviously, most libraries are divided into sections, sort of loosely based on age, right? So when you're first starting out, just like going to that section that's more in your kid's age range is going to be a great way to get started, which might seem like common sense. But sometimes I know when I'm thinking about starting something, like all the things that I need to just like fall out of my brain, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah, that's so true.
But also just thinking about programming, like the different, probably most people know most libraries have story times for like younger kids. But as they get older, there's still often libraries will have a lot of great programming and great options. And so like for elementary age, you can look at the programming they have. Sometimes some libraries will also have dedicated computers for kids. So that can be an option. Like if you don't have computer or internet access easily at your home, you can be able to help teach your kids those computer skills at the library. And as they get older, as teenagers, there's more opportunities too for leadership roles there. Oftentimes libraries will have what's called the teen advisory board, which is a group of teenagers, and they can give input on library programs and other things that the library are doing. And so that's a great opportunity to get some leadership experience. Not every library has this, but it is something that exists and something that you could possibly, even if your library doesn't, talk to the youth librarian about starting this. It's a great opportunity, especially sometimes as homeschool kids, to be able to have that kind of leadership experience, because we don't have as many access to kind of like the extracurriculars that are in school. So having that leadership or even employment, like a lot of times libraries can employ teenagers. Some of them have special summer internships for teenagers or just like regular roles, so that There's really some opportunities for growth or even just volunteering. Mm-hmm. Once you get to be an old enough age, you can volunteer at a lot of libraries. And of course, when you're thinking about age groups, also think about yourself, right? The library has resources for you to learn too and to keep growing and homeschooling. A lot of libraries have homeschooling books that you can have access to when you're trying to learn more. And they're there as a resource. And especially if you're trying to plan something. And like one time I was trying to search for something in the library card catalog. And well, it's a digital catalog.
Digital now, yes.
I still call it the card catalog because that's what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm pretty good at knowing the keywords, but I couldn't figure out the exact keyword that I needed. I was searching too broad and I was getting too many results. And I was able to talk to the librarian and they were able to help me figure out the keyword to narrow it down so I could find some better results. Mm-hmm. So if you're doing a unit on something and you're, especially if you're looking for something really specific, you can use the librarians as a resource to help you find more information about that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm hearing, you know, overall is just really dig in, ask questions, and find out everything that the library is offering, because a lot of times we just walk in and we see the books, but when we start saying, well, what programs are you doing? How can we get involved? You know, that will get you into a little deeper.
Yes.
Into that. Those are some great suggestions. I know the internships, my son did one and we had a small town and they're like, well, we need some photographs of our library to, you know, put on their internet site. And so they hired him to do the photography. Yes. And then he ended up interning with them over the summer and, you know, learning how to shell books and all of that. But
most librarians are really, especially youth librarians and children's librarians, they're so enthusiastic about young people being in the library that if you get to know them, you can really make some great connections and find some neat opportunities that might not have thought of otherwise.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Those are all really, really good. Because I think we often, you know, look at businesses as opportunities for our kids to get experiences. But there's so much just within the library. Like you're talking about leadership and being, you know, just learning job skills and, you know, all these things right here. And it's a place maybe that you're comfortable, your kids are comfortable in. And I know a lot of kids that have learning differences, putting them in a new environment is sometimes hard, but that library maybe is a comfortable place and a good place to start.
And thinking about job skills too, some libraries will offer programs that are geared towards job seekers. And so like some of them, they can help, some libraries will help you like write resumes and things like that. And maybe like, especially like if you've been a homeschool parent for a long time and you might not have been in the workforce, like when you're trying to help your teenager write a resume to get a job, it might not be in your skill set. Things might have changed a lot since you were in the workplace. So a lot of libraries, the librarians have some experience working with those job skills and helping people. So you can also ask them to help your teenager or to look for programs that they might be putting on about resume writing or other skills like that.
Yeah, that's some great advice. I love that. So, at any age that, you know, from the littles to the story time to the young adults looking for, job skills, resume, and, you know, even us as parents, I love that, you know, and, you know, one push I want to give, cause I'm so big on mom care that, find a book for yourself. And a lot of times I even did read out louds with my kids that I wanted to hear. It may have not even fit in the unit, but maybe a little bit. But it's care for your soul and yourself. And it's very important.
Yes, I'm very big into mom care too. And I agree that the library can be a great place for that. Even just going to like a program that's something fun for you, you know, it might just be like an hour or whatever, but you can go, somebody else has set everything up already for you. You can just go and enjoy some time doing something that works your brain and your other skills in a different way.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So important. Yeah. Yeah. So in talking about this, you know, there's so many, but what are your favorite library resources to use and for homeschooling maybe specifically and why?
I think, so this is going to be heavily library dependent, right? Every library looks different. Mm-hmm. I mean, books are obviously like, we love getting books from the library. It expands, like, I don't have an unlimited book budget. You probably don't have an unlimited book budget. So it expands and brings in so many more books than we could ever have gotten on our own. Mm-hmm. And so many libraries now have special collections that aren't books. Some libraries are starting to build board game collections, for example. We have a couple of libraries near us that have board game collections. Those are great to add some games into our homeschooling and to work on different skills. Some libraries are starting to have collections of STEM kits, which are like STEM experiments all in a kit. You can check it out. They have all the pieces you need. Some libraries even are starting to get other bigger equipment. Like one, I know there's a library near us where you can check out a keyboard. There's one where you can check out a sewing machine. Wow. So libraries are, there's not every library, of course, it's heavily dependent on what they have the funding to access.
Right.
But many libraries are starting to move their collections beyond just books. And so there is so many things that we can access that, you know, especially when you're trying to work on a limited budget, you know, especially like thinking about some of those things like board games or sewing machine or whatever, like those can really add up. So being able to get them from the library can really add an extra dimension. Yeah. And so it's really neat seeing all the different little special collections that libraries have. And if you're part of a lot of libraries, not all of them, but a lot of them are part of a bigger system. So for example, my library is just small. It doesn't have any special collections, but because it's connected to these other libraries, I have access to the special collections of those libraries. Yes. And they're really, really unique. One of them even has a cake pan that you can check out, different cake pans you can check out. And more libraries are also starting to get passes that you can check out, like to museums or zoos.
Oh, yes.
And this is such a great way to visit places on a budget because you can check out the pass and go, and it acts just as if it was your own pass. And so if you are wanting to add in more field trips, but you're feeling limited by budget constraints, check to see if your library has any passes available to you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing the things that can be added there. I know I remember when those passes first came out and it was a long time ago, and it was like, oh, really? We can actually go and, you know, here and there, and it's not going to cost me anything. I just have to make sure I reserve it. But I think also, to let parents know if there's something your library doesn't have, they consider their budget every year. And if you request it, more than likely, they're going to put it in their collection or add something because they know that the community is asking for it. So don't feel like I just get what I get, but be part of that process.
Sometimes I've put on books hold from other branches, and they'll come in and the librarians will see them and be like, oh, this is such a cool book. And then in like 2 months later, it'll be at our branch. And they'll order a copy of it for our branch.
Wow. Yeah. I just got, and also to be on your email list or newsletter list for your library, because when these things come out, you're going to be the first to know about it. Yes. I know I just got an announcement from our library. They're now renting out hotspots and tablets for anybody to check out, especially people that don't have a secure internet service. So,
and also your libraries, some libraries are now active on social media too. That's another way. If you follow your library on social media, sometimes they'll be posting pictures of new books or program announcements or things like that. So yeah, along with the email list, the social media can be, if your library uses it, some libraries use it more than other libraries.
Yeah. Just whatever, however they, you know, and maybe even ask the librarian, how would I find out quickest what's new and what's happening at the library? And they would be able to tell you.
And that's another thing. when you're at the library, keep your eyes open for flyers. So oftentimes how I find out about programs is they have flyers, they have handouts that you can take, they have newsletters, their print copies. Like our library publishes all the programs for like the next 3 months in a print copy. So I can like look through and see that. And some libraries have community bulletin boards where programs and things that might be happening in your community that would be good and educational for your kids. So I always, when I go in our library, there's always the bulletin board and I always have to check it out first and see everything that's happening.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a good way to get involved in your community.
Yes.
And also just to take advantage of other things that are going on very close.
Yes.
You don't have to travel too far too. So that's great. So that kind of builds into my next question. What are some resources that I guess we kind of talked a little bit, but a lot of families, you know, don't know about a lot of things we talked about. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that families may not think about? Oh, I can get this at the library.
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. A lot of libraries will offer printing services for a really nominal fee, like 5 cents or 10 cents. Yeah. And so I know not everyone has a printer. If you see something and you think it would be beneficial in your homeschool and you want to print it, the library may have an ability to print it for you. And usually at most libraries, it's not free, but it is so much cheaper than what you would find like if you went to a commercial printing place, because the libraries are really just trying to do it at cost. They're not trying to make a profit off of it. And some of them even have the ability to print in color if you only have like a black and white printer or anything. So that's another resource you might be able to use.
There's an interesting question from one of our YouTube members, our viewers. She said, in the state of Maine, we have to document library skills. That must be one of their required subjects.
Yeah.
She said, I'm very new to homeschooling. How have other parents shown evidence of this skill?
That is a very interesting question indeed. And I would say, so we don't have to document this in my state, but if I lived in a state where I had to document it, I would start first of all by teaching my kids how to use card catalog, but I mean the digital equivalent of the card catalog, and showing them how to do searches and maybe coming up with in terms of documenting, you could come up with like a little sort of worksheet and say like, search for this subject and write down the titles and call numbers of that book, because the call numbers are an important part of library skills and like being able to find them. And so you could have that first as the documentation, like you search this subject, like say, I don't know, was the first thing that came to my mind was George Washington. I don't know why, but say they looked for books on George Washington, show them how to use the card catalog, show them where in the card catalog they can find the call number, have them write down the title and the call number, and then take them to the library and show them how to use the call number. And so that would be probably where I would start with that. It's really like a basic form of researching skills, because, when you type in like George Washington, you're going to get like a lot of results, and not all of those results are going to be relevant. Like some of those books are going to be for adults. So like helping your kids figure out, see if you can, like in a lot of digital catalogs, you can refine by age. So you can look at just the kids' researches. You can narrow it down to just the resources from a certain branch. So starting there and showing them how that works, I think would be a big step towards those library skills. And like, if you have to document it, getting something on paper that can show like, okay, they searched this and they found this. And another thing I would say is, go into your library, talk to your librarian and say, this is our homeschool requirement. And how can I best teach this to my kids? They may have other homeschoolers who have asked that question, and they may be able to help you or have some idea of how you can best document it or work with you. Like librarians are often some of the best people. They're just so willing to help you out and help you figure this out. So that's where I think I would start with documenting that. And mm-hmm. I think to take the next steps, talk to your librarian and see what they would suggest. Because you're probably not the first person to ask this, especially if it's a requirement.
More than likely they know of a resource that's already been made, or they created one within the state that they can share with you. So it's not worth recreating the wheel and going out and looking. And you can even try connecting with the Homeschoolers of Maine. I know there's a homeschool association there, and they may actually have a curriculum themselves, because it is a unique subject. It's not one that's required in most states. So that would be a place to start. Because I know here in Texas, we have Texas history is required as one of our things that we teach. And so the Texas Homeschool Coalition actually has created a curriculum for us in Texas to make it easier.
State homeschool organizations are a great resource, especially for really like unique functions of homeschool law that are unique to your state. Like no other state has a Texas history required.
Exactly. That'd be kind of weird. But so, you know, earlier you were talking about the communication board and, you know, finding things in your community that were going on. How else can homeschoolers use the library to build their homeschooling community and just the population that supports their efforts?
Well, I would say some libraries even have programs that are specifically for homeschools where they're during the day, like homeschool book clubs. Or other homeschool programs, and they're during the day, so they're not limited to homeschool kids. I mean, if another kid comes, they're not going to say no. But because
but they're usually in the middle of the day,
right? So it's mostly homeschoolers that come. That can be a way to meet new homeschoolers. Another time is a lot of libraries, if they have the space, will have some kind of community room or meeting room. And often, if you live there, you can rent that room for free or really cheap if you're if you're thinking of a place to get together, especially like if you live somewhere where you know, like me, I live in the Midwest. It's cold and snowy here a lot of the year, and like we do a lot outside in the winter, but also sometimes it's nice to have an indoor place where you can meet with other homeschoolers. And so finding that it can be hard to find as a homeschooler to find affordable spaces to get together with other homeschoolers that are indoors. So check your library and see if they have spaces that you can rent for free or sometimes a really nominal fee. Sometimes they'll only be free if you live within that library service area. But it just depends on your library and what they have available to you. But that can be a good place to meet with other homeschoolers.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And then just getting plugged into all those different activities. And I know there would be cultural days that we would go to, and these things that we wouldn't have normally gone to, but they were free, you know, they were supported by the library. So why not? Let's just show up and see what it's like, you know, and it was really good experiences.
Yeah, when my kids were little, they brought in a Korean drumming instructor. I remember that like really specifically because I studied abroad in Korea when I was in college. So being able to show my kids and teach them that Korean drumming, because the instructor was really wonderful and she had the little hand drums for all of them. And so being able to share that with my kids, this experience that I had in another country and being able to share it with them at home was really, really special to me.
You can just dive into to all of those different things. There's one of our YouTube viewers said that their library had a homeschool event about Black illustrators for Black History Month. Yeah. And so they're going to focus on, you know, resources of the library, but they do focus on different like monthly or yearly topics. And she said they also started a homeschool meetup days in their teen room. So
another thing that, some libraries will also often sometimes bring in authors too. And like, especially if it is an author of a book that you have read, or if you see that the author is coming, you can read the book with your kids. I mean, they bring in adult authors, but they also will bring in children's authors. So sometimes two, or even with the pandemic, a lot of libraries have done virtual programming. So we've had the opportunity to sort of watch and see like, oh, our favorite author is going to be doing a virtual program at this library that's really far away from us. And we couldn't ever actually go, but because it's virtual, we can go see it. And my kids actually really love attending those book talks and getting to hear from their favorite authors. They think it's a really cool and such a neat experience.
Yeah. It kind of makes the book even become more real because the person whose mind it came from is right there. Yes. And you know, you can get, hear the story behind the story and the characters and maybe even somebody in their life that influenced that character and get your kids thinking about, oh, this is how stories are developed instead of just, you know, they come out of the air and this person just put it on paper. It's, you know, writing is a very difficult task. And to meet people who have labored through that and who love it and have a passion for it to share it with your children.
Yes. We were able to attend one a couple of months ago with Bob Shea, and he's like, I'm going to teach you all how to be an illustrator. And he's like, this is how you draw this character. And this is how you draw this character.
Oh, that's cool.
And my kids just really loved that. It was so exciting for them. Like kids, people who write for kids generally have such like a great energy about them. And they can, even when my kids, they're like, oh, I don't know, they're feeling like kind of crabby or whatever. Mm-hmm. By the end of it, they're like really excited and pumped up about it. And they got to see a really cool creative work at process.
Yeah. Instead of just the end result there and become part of it. And, you know, and we live in a society and our kids want to experience things and try things out. And it's a safe environment to do that. You know, it's like, oh, we're only going for an hour. And so let's just have fun doing that. So,
Yeah.
So what about curriculum? How can we use libraries to build our curriculum?
That is, well, first of all, a lot of the like literature-based curriculums, a lot of times you can find the books for them at the library. And especially with the pandemic, I've noticed that since the pandemic, a lot of libraries have been bringing in more homeschool resources and like learn at home resources and like guidebooks for parents. I know I don't have access to one of these, but I have heard of libraries that have curriculum that you can check out. And so it's really all about knowing your library. And also a lot of times libraries to help fund their library programs will have book sales. And especially if you're using a literature-based curriculum that has a lot of older books that might be going out of print, looking at the book sales that the library has, because most of the times they're very reasonably priced and you can add those books to your collection for not a large fee. And sometimes libraries will have access to manipulatives you can check out. I know there's a couple of different math manipulatives that I can check out at one of the libraries where my library card works. So looking at the different resources and just thinking sort of creatively about it. And of course, if you're using a unit study or an interest-based learning approach, they're going to be really great for just going really deep into subjects, you know, because you might only be doing a unit study for like 2 or 3 weeks and you don't want to maybe own like 30 books on apples for the rest of your life, but you could check out like 30 books on apples from the library.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. We did unit studies and I owned a lot of books on various things. And yeah, the library was ended up being something I morphed to that because there was just too many books and you just couldn't keep them all. And just even supplementing. Do you do like read out louds and things like that? And how do you pick those for your kids?
We read aloud every day, basically most days, twice a day, sometimes just once a day if we're having a really busy day. It's a really big part of our homeschool. And I have no particular rhyme or reason for picking a read aloud. I just look for what's good. I listen to other homeschool parents, what they're saying, what's good. Sometimes there will be like an event coming up Like we'll be doing a book club with our co-op. And so that'll sort of guide my decisions too. Or if I'm looking at some curriculum or a unit study and thinking about what books would be good to fit with that. Mm-hmm. And just keeping my eyes open, like especially a lot of libraries, the librarians will put up like seasonal displays where they'll pull out some books like on winter or whatever time of year it is. Like, you know, someone mentioned about Black History Month. And so our library recently had a whole bunch of books. Those books were always there, but sometimes like when they're displayed, they're easier to see and find. So just sometimes looking for what catches my eye, or a lot of libraries will put their new books in a specific section. So looking over there and seeing what looks new and exciting, or sometimes if there is like a sequel to a book that we've read before that's relatively recent, and I check the new bookshelf and I see, like the next one in the series came out. It just sort of grows organically out of what we are already doing. And I don't have a specific method. Like as long as you're reading,
it's
good. So it's like not everything that we read has to be incredibly educational all the time, because even just reading the fun stuff is so good for your brain. Even reading the silly, goofy books, like my kids love The Book with No Pictures, which is just this hilarious picture book. Well, it's not a picture book because there's no pictures, but the words are really funny. And it talks about how, like, you know, when grownups are reading a book out loud and they just have to say whatever is on the next page, and then there'll be like ridiculous, silly words on the next page. Funny. And my kids think it's like, there's not really any educational value to that book, but there's value in spending that time reading together, thinking about the funny ways that language sounds, and laughing together. So there are no bad decisions when it comes to reading out loud. If there's something that's inappropriate for your family, then of course, avoid it. Avoid like things that are too old for your kids, or sometimes, like your kids might not have the attention span for a longer read aloud until they grow a little bit older, or, you know, you can do different things while they read aloud. You can like give them something to color or something small to do with their hands while they read aloud. And so just you'll figure out sort of which books you like in your homeschool, which ones your family likes, which ones are the ones that make your kids' eyes light up. Like as you keep reading to them, you'll figure out what kind of books really excite your kids. Like one of my kids loves to read longer chapter books, and one of my kids, he doesn't really care for those. So I try to do a mix of what we read aloud so that it's not always somebody's, it's not always the same person's favorites, but we kind of get enough for everybody to stay happy.
So, you know, when you go to the library, I was thinking about this as you were sharing, you know, what do you tell your kids when you go? I mean, do you kind of just say, just pick out some books, or do you give them a limit, or how does that work?
So I used to give my kids a limit. When they're older now, I don't give them so much of a limit. They know that the library card has a built-in limit. And we'll only let them check out so many books. But mostly I just say, you know, what do you want to check out? And then I just like look at it briefly and see like, oh, that's probably, it's probably fine. Especially as they get a little bit older, giving them more independence to pick out their books. Like when they were little, I picked out most of their books, but as they get older, giving them more independence to explore. And especially with my older son, something we do sometimes is I don't necessarily always read a book out loud, but sometimes we'll both read the same book. Like I'll read it first and then I'll give it to him to read it. And that's really fun because then we've both read it and we both have our own ideas and we can talk about it together. And so just kind of like exploring together. And after a while, if you go to the library and you're friendly to people, people will, like they'll start to know you, right? And like the librarian, I always encourage my kids, if they don't know how to find a book, to go ask the librarian, because I could help them find that book, but I want them to get used to the process of asking the librarian and understanding that the librarian can help them
for their needs.
Because, it's like, I know how to use the catalog and I could find that for them, but I want them to know how to talk to the librarian. And so after a while, you know, they get to know the librarian, starts to know, what things they like or they're interested in. And then like after a while, you know, the librarian will be like, hey, you know, we got this new book in and I think you guys would like it. And so don't dismiss like the value of those like, I don't know the right word for it, but like those casual relationships that you can have with people and learning how to interact with adults and how to ask questions of adults and how to find what you need without necessarily me just finding what they need, helping them to have the tools to find what they need and using the catalog on their own as they get bigger and different things like that.
Yeah, that's so important. And like you said, it's a safe environment and and that librarian wants to help. And so what better person to ask than somebody who's ready? And that's what they get paid to do. So added on to that, what are maybe some things that we as parents don't realize we can ask our librarians to help us with in our homeschooling?
Probably anything that you can think of, ask a librarian, and stuff for your personal life too. You know, I was going through a tricky situation personally, and I was able to ask the librarian to help me find some books on that subject to help me get through it. So, you know, if you are like, if there's a problem that you're having with your kids, or if your kid is diagnosed with a medical condition that you don't know a lot about, you can ask your librarian to help you find resources for that. And because I feel like we've talked a lot about the homeschooling resources and the things you can ask your librarian to find homeschooling, but there's so much more. Maybe it's just the way I always grew up in libraries. So I always knew, like, you know, if I didn't know something, I could find it in a book. So sort of just carried that over into my adult life. When I have questions about something, asking librarians or looking up in the catalog so I can learn more about it too. And just, I can't think if there's something else, but you know, it never hurts to ask. Like, even if say you're looking for a specific book and you don't see it in the catalog, a lot of times libraries can do something that's called interlibrary loan. It's a little bit different than, like usually most libraries that are connected to other libraries, they move books in between those libraries all the time, right? You put books on hold and it can come from another library. But interlibrary loan is where librarians can talk to libraries outside of the libraries they're connected to and get a book and bring it in for you. So if there is something you can't find, you can always talk to the librarian. They can see if there is another way that they can bring that resource in there for you, if they can send it from another library that's farther outside. So just whenever you have a question about a resource, if you can't find what you're looking for, if you think that the library doesn't have the resource, but maybe they could get it for you, those are definitely things that you can talk to a librarian about.
Yeah, I know like interloan library resources, they can sometimes access resources from colleges, universities, medical libraries, law libraries, that you can, sometimes you have to like read them in the library. They won't let them, you check them out, but at least you still have access to them for some unique things that maybe you just need quick resources on. Or if your student's doing a really complicated, you know, in-depth study of something, your librarian can help them with that research.
A lot of times, this is another thing that I almost forgot about, is that online databases, databases. A lot of times libraries have access to online databases. Like some libraries have access to Mango Languages, which is a language learning program. Some libraries have access to Ancestry.com, which if you're doing a like a family history project, there are so many databases that libraries have access to. Sometimes you do have to use them in the library, but a lot of them you can put in your library card number and use them from home. And so those databases and different ones, we even, like, for example, my library even has access to something called Gale courses, where there are these different little courses that you can take. Some of them are like about business, but there's also other ones too. And so there's a way for you to learn, but also for an older student who might be ready to test out a sort of like self-driven course environment in like a low risk. See if you can do a course and be self-driven and self-paced before you pay money to do a course.
Lots of money for it.
And e-resources. So many libraries nowadays have access to e-resources, audiobooks. We listen to a lot of audiobooks from the library, even movies, TV shows, documentaries. It all depends on what your library has, but those libraries are being built and existing. And there's also sometimes too, another option that's great for kids that I didn't think about before, but I just remembered, is sometimes libraries will have access to these things called playaways, which are basically like a tiny self-contained MP3 player, and it only has one book on it, one audiobook, but then you can put in your own headphones and listen to the audiobook that's on there, and you can check them out. So it's like, if you don't have a CD player or something else that you can play, you can check out audiobooks that way. So some libraries will have collections of those, that they're like little portable MP3 players, but they only play whatever audiobook.
Are those usable in a car at all? Have you tried that?
I have not tried using them in the car. I think you could do it if you had the right kind of cable to connect to it, but I'm not sure what exactly what kind of cable that you would use.
Yeah, that was one of the greatest resources from the library that we so enjoyed, because we would travel a lot during the summer and we would rent movies for a trip and rent audiobooks. And, you know, that's how we made it across the country with our children in the back.
If you are used to hooking your phone into your car, like I can, my car has Bluetooth, I can hook my phone in. And if I check out a digital audiobook from the library, I can usually play that through my car speaker on the Bluetooth, but I've never tried with the playaways specifically.
But it gives you lots of good options for other things. Yeah.
Just go to your library and see what's there. If your library is connected to other libraries in a system, like 99% of the time, I always go to our home library, but I have visited all of the libraries that are in the system at least once, just to see what they have there, just to know what's there, what like some libraries have play spaces for kids. And some of that you can find by looking in the catalog, but there's more you can find by being there and looking and seeing like what special collections they have and everything like that. So It could even be like a fun summer activity to do, like, you know, we're going to do a library tour and visit all the different libraries and see what they're each like.
Yeah, it's air conditioned too, usually. Yes. It's a good summer activity.
It's a great place for when it's raining too, you know, if the weather is gross, but you still want to get outside of the house, the library can be a really great option for that. Because it's free to go to the library, and it isn't always free to go to a museum or any of those other places where you might go when it is raining or the weather is gross. Like, you can play outside when it's rain, but sometimes, you know, you just want to be inside where it's dry. And so
exactly,
it's talking about homeschooling on the cheap, it's a free place where you can go, and like anytime they're open, and they're not going to, they're not going to be like, no, you can't be here unless you like really do something horrendous.
Right.
which reminds me of something that is good to mention, is that some libraries have policies about unaccompanied kids during school time hours.
Oh, that's good.
So as your kids get older, and if you want them to be able to go to the library by themselves, but your library has a policy like that, I would just encourage you to talk to librarians, you know, explain like, this is my kid, they're homeschooled, like they might need you to sign something or something like that, because they have some of them will have policies that say like kids by themselves can't be in the library during school hours because they should be in school. But if you talk to the librarians and they know and understand your situation, usually they're able to work something out with you. But as your kids get older, that might be something that you run into. Like I know that I was in the library by myself a lot as like a 12, 13, 14 year old. I would bike to the library. My parents let me bike to the library, or sometimes I would take the bus to the faraway big library, which was exciting. It was like, I don't know, 15 minutes from my house, but it was too far for me to bike. So like taking the bus there, my, my library growing up had a program where on like Wednesdays, if you showed your library card for free, you could ride the bus for free to the library. So I would ride the bus to the library as like a teenager. And so that is something to be aware of, that sometimes libraries have policies like that. And I would just encourage you to talk to your library if you're going thinking about having your kid go there during the day by themselves, that you would talk to them and see if an exception can be made or if anything can happen like that. Not all libraries do, but some do. So I thought it might be a good thing to mention.
Yes, that is good to mention. Because, yeah, I think it depends on more so like your state truancy laws that affect the laws that the library or the rules that the library has to set. But they probably do have some sort of waiver to work around that for homeschoolers, especially now that so many people are homeschooling. And so just ask. It comes back to that. Ask, doesn't it?
So many times, like, the resources are there, but like asking about it, I remember like in one, I was visiting a library I'd never been to last summer, and I ended up talking with the librarian, and she opens this drawer and she shows me like, we have these little Lego kits you can check out, and you check out the Legos and you build with the Legos and then you bring it back and we put the built Legos in the display case. And I would have never known, right? Because they were in the librarian's drawer. I couldn't see them, right? But because I had talked to her, I knew that that was a thing that existed. And so just, I can't emphasize enough, like talking to your librarians, most of them want to help. They want to help connect you with this resources. Like a lot of librarians spend a lot of time planning these things and thinking about the things that would best benefit the community that they serve. So talking to them, like it's going to be so wonderful. And especially now with the pandemic, so many libraries have gotten creative in place of like regular programming. Some of them have put together like take and make kits that have a project you can do at home. And so just asking and finding out what your resources are. We've done, our library has put together some of those kits, and we've done some really neat projects. Like we had one where we made a homemade squirt gun and they put together everything that we needed. So librarians are really creative and they create all these resources, and they don't like create them for them to sit there, right? They want people to be using them. So talking to your librarians can help you tap into the resources that might not be as obvious as the books, right? You walk in and you see the books, they're right there. And so asking about what other things they might have is really a way to open up and see what else is there. And usually if you just say, you know, I homeschool and I'm wondering what are some other resources that the library has, and they'll they'll just open up and tell you all sorts of things that you never might have seen on your own.
Yeah. And even just share with them, you know, be real. These are the areas that I really struggle to find resources to, that I can afford, and how can the library, you know, help me in my efforts to give my children the best education that I can. And they're going to want to help you. So, so definitely you just, again, ask. So this has been such an amazing conversation, Melissa. I'm so excited about so everything you shared. And I can tell you were extremely passionate about libraries. So you were like the perfect guest for this.
Thank you. Such a kind thing to say.
Oh, well, it's been a joy just listening to you and all that you have to share. So Melissa also has a blog, and I want you to talk a little bit about that so our viewers can connect with you there as well if they find that some of your resources could be helpful to them as well with their homeschooling.
Yes, I run pockethomeschool.com, and I just really want to connect you to all the different homeschooling resources that are out there. I want homeschooling to be something that is joyful for your family and not something that is just like, I don't want you to wake up dreading every day and feeling like I hate homeschooling. Like, I want to help you find the best resources for your family. You can connect with me. I'm on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and Pinterest, all with the name Pocket Homeschool. But the very best way to connect with me is my email newsletter, because I have kind of a little special thing that I do with my email newsletter. I call it Five for Friday. And every Friday, I send out five things that you can use in your homeschool. Recommendations, game recommendations, YouTube videos, unit studies, different things, like sometimes sales that are going on with different homeschool curriculum. And so it's kind of like every week is a little bit different. I keep it under 500 words most weeks, so it's fast and easy for you to read. And a lot of the resources, the book recommendations and stuff that I mentioned, can be found at your library. And so it's a great way to connect with me, and I try to make it fun there. And so that's if you like what I'm saying, and you want this kind of energy and excitement about homeschooling in your life, I just encourage you to look me out and connect with me.
So again, that's pockethomeschool.com is where you can, and I'm sure that they can subscribe once they get to your website and probably on your social media too, and find a way to do that. Awesome.
And if you really get stuck, you can always message me on social media and I can send a link right to you. I usually have some freebie that I'm offering for subscribing. It changes, but right now it's a weather journal. But if you're listening to this 6 months from now, it'll be something new and different and exciting.
Right. Yeah.
But if you're listening to this today, you could go right to my website, get a free weather journal and an awesome email newsletter with awesome things you can use in your homeschool.
Yeah, well, thank you for the support that you offer homeschooling families. It's so important that there's people like you that are passionate, that that just you give that encouragement and that urge for people to just keep continuing on. Because I know parents in our community, sometimes the days are really hard.
Yes.
And to have somebody come alongside you and say, you can do it. I've got this resource. And here's, you know, something extra to just keep you going. That's what they need. So,
yes. Thank you so much for having me, Peggy. It's been, it's been such a delight to talk to you about, like I said, I love libraries. I practically grew up in a library.
You weren't born in a library?
Sometimes people wonder. I do have a lot of books here, and they're like, why do you even need a library? You have so many books. And I'm like, listen, this is only like 1/1000th of all the books that are in the world. I need the library.
Yes. Either that or you need a really big budget.
Yes, and I don't have that, so...
Yes. That's awesome, yes. And, you know, it's a resource that we all pay for, and so why don't we use it? It's making me think I need to get to the library. I haven't been there in a long time, so
it's always got something for all people. Like, even if there's problems that you are having in your family, I know, like, one of the libraries in our area has like dementia kits, which are designed to help you if you have a loved one who has dementia or Alzheimer's. So never discount the possibility that if there's something you need help with, your library might have a resource for you.
So good. Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, we tend to look inwards and say, oh, there's just nothing. But start by asking. And library is a great place to start.
Yes.
So, well, thank you again, just for sharing and for all the wisdom that you have accumulated over the years, Melissa. I appreciate you pouring them out over this last hour. It has just been a joy to listen to you, and inspiring as well. You're just starting your homeschool journey. You've got so much ahead of you, and your kids have a very good homeschool mom.
Oh, thank you. Don't make me cry. I don't want to cry on camera.
Well, and I just want to thank our audience. You know, you are investing time into your homeschool too, just by listening to this podcast or watching our videos. And I thank you for joining us on a weekly basis and knowing that you need the encouragement, that you need these resources. And that's what we're here for. Sped Homeschool was birthed because I didn't have resources like this. And I knew that if parents had resources, this was going to be a more viable solution for them to homeschool a struggling learner. And so there's where Sped Homeschool birthed from. And so we are passionate about helping you and about getting you connected with people like Melissa, because we know that when you do that, that it brings better results for you as a parent and for your children in their educational outcomes as well. So thank you for being part of our community. And I just want to also thank all of our sponsors. Sped Homeschool is actually funded mostly by the curriculum, therapists, consultants, and people that are listed on our website. So I encourage you to check out their resources. They have amazing resources that that you can tap into, just like Melissa's, and utilize. And they are passionate about helping you get started. I know, because I interview every single company that is on our website, and I have a relationship with them and make sure that they do what they do because they want to help you, not just because they're in it for the money. And most of them will gladly take a phone call and email from you and help you to utilize the products that they've developed so that your child's successful and you're successful in your homeschooling endeavors. So definitely check out our website at spedhomeschool.com and see what those sponsors have to share. And then next week, our focus is we're going to continue on this theme of inexpensive homeschooling resources. And I'm going to have an occupational therapist on. And she's actually an old dear friend of mine who reconnected with me. And she said, "Peggy, I had no idea you were doing this." We used to work together at MOPS International years ago. But she actually patented an occupational therapy tool. And one of her passions to speak about is Dollar Tree occupational therapy. So we're going to talk about how you can use Dollar Tree resources to do occupational therapy in your own home. And I'm super excited to have her on and to share with us. So you definitely don't want to miss that one either. So join us again next week. But thanks again, Melissa. It was a pleasure having you here. Everybody, make sure you check out her blog at pockethomeschool.com and all the resources she has on there. And yeah, it was a joy having you.
Thanks, Peggy.
So thanks, everybody. And we'll see you right here, same time, same place next week. And until then, have an awesome rest of your week and awesome rest of the day. Bye, everyone.